All right, let's conclude our teaching. Open your Bibles. Let's just get into that immediately. Today, I'll read where we read last time, then I'll pick another one, add to it, then quickly do a short 5-minute review, and then run off with what I want to say today. And by the mercies of God, I believe that we'll conclude. All right, the book of Colossians chapter 3 is where we will start, the book of Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading from verse 15. It said, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God." Now, please, verse 17 is the main text for today's teaching again, which we began last time. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Now, we read this last time, and it's good to read it again so as to conclude what I began to speak last time as a conclusion of the whole series titled The Work of Christ. I explained the fact that, Jesus did all these things for us, and we must walk in the manner that reflects that we understand it. In fact, the one we gave as an example, now don't forget what we've been talking about, the work of Christ. I'm not going to review it today, but we'll discuss many things in the coming of Jesus Christ, what he accomplished in the putting away of sin, in the establishment of righteousness, in opening a way for us to come to God the Father. And we talked about that over the last 10 meetings, and today we serve as a conclusion. Actually, the conclusion began last time, just I didn't finish it. Now, so in the conclusion, I'm trying to explain what it means to walk in the name, to live in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's important to understand that. So last time when I began to say this, I took one part of it, which is how to pray in the name of Jesus. Now, I refer to the book of Luke chapter 18, even though we did not read it. For time's sake, you can read it yourself, but I won't just... Okay, let's just refer to it briefly again. It's something we have read again and again here. The book of Luke chapter 18, quickly. And there's the story of the people that went to pray from verse 9. I won't read everything. He said, "I told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt." And the story is in verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself. Now, please, for all time, I'll summarize it. He described every good thing that he had done and how he was better than other people. And then the other man didn't do any of that. You find out in verse 13. "But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven," that he was so humble, all right, to be able to come to God's presence. All right? He was beating his chest and saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." They say, "I'm a sinner, I believe it. But I will accept your mercy. I know you are going to show me your mercy, and that's the basis upon which I will get what I want to get from you." And I said, that's very important. The Pharisee is the modern-day Pentecostal, at least in Nigeria. He believes that anytime he wants to pray, he must be able to tell God what he has done for him. Where we make the mistake all the time, that's the most popular practice in Christianity. When we give gifts, we go and quote it for God, that is the basis of prosperity. So we believe that if we give, God must prosper us in return. And when we approach God, we say to him, either overtly or subtly, all right, that you see, I have given, therefore you must give back. What that means is that you are approaching God on the basis of your works. Now, I've talked about that in previous times, so I'm not going to spend all the time today. I'm going to review briefly. And we said this is how it is, that whatever you do in word or in deed, you do in the name of Jesus. When you go and pray, you don't do that. The only reason you receive anything from God is because Jesus gave God the Father enough reasons to bless you. God doesn't give you anything because of what you did in answer to prayer. He answers your prayer only because you come by the new and living way, by the blood of Jesus Christ. You come through the door that Jesus opened for you, and you come boldly to his throne of grace, and there you receive mercy, and you find grace to help. You notice that this man asked God for his mercy, and Jesus said that this man left there justified. What does it mean to be justified? It means to be accepted. Now, let's say that again, because you see, we have to repeat these things again and again. Ken Hagin said, where there is no repetition, the people are not established. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I keep on saying these things again and again until it becomes the very part of you. You know, I'm a teacher. I teach in a university. And sometimes students shock you. You will say, in fact, I've had students I told directly to their faces like this. If I ever ask you this kind of question on an exam, this is the kind of answer I expect. And it was a small tutorial of just a few people. All right? Eventually, exam came. I asked that question, and they wrote whatever they wanted to write. Everything apart from what I said. Students are wonderful. All right? So that's why Peter said, I know you know these things, but I will not neglect to remind you of them. So please bear with me as I go over these things again and again and again. I want them to be printed in the hearts of people. You don't receive from God because of what you did. You receive from him because of what Jesus did. And that is the meaning of the expression, praying in the name of Jesus. I don't come to him expecting that I've been a good boy, I've been a good girl, therefore I should have a good husband, I should have a good wife, I should have good children. No. When I come to him, I depend on the fact that Jesus washed away my sins. I depend on the fact that Jesus washed away even what I call goodness. Are you getting my point? Because many of our good works, they are nothing but filthy rags in his sight. So when I come to him, there are gifts you give, and it's iniquity before God. For example, God probably said to you at the time, he said, stop giving to that your uncle. He does not need your money. He doesn't need your honor. Doesn't need anything. And you have been giving to him. And the Bible says you have been a brother to him, taken from the poor. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? And yes, you think you've been a generous person. So what we do is this. We just totally don't depend on what we have done. He said, God, you know I have prayed, though. You will answer me. He said, God, I'm not even sure I have prayed good. I'm not even sure I have prayed enough. My coming to you is because Jesus said, if I need anything, I ask in his name. If I want anything, I ask in his name. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, I am accepted in your presence. And that's why I have come. And this is what righteousness is. Righteousness simply means I am accepted. So when Jesus said concerning that man, that man went away justified, that's in verse 14, rather than the other, what he was saying simply is that man was accepted in God's presence. The publican was not. So let me just say it to us straight. Today, most Pentecostals are not accepted in God's presence when they go to pray. They are not justified. They come and say, God, I have tithed, therefore you will bless me. They are not justified. They say, God, I have given an offering, therefore you will bless me. They are not justified. They say, God, I have won many souls, therefore you will bless me. They are not justified. The things that they are doing are not accepted. Oh, you understand? The only reason God blesses them is because of his mercy. And his mercy is shown, please note that, in the shedding of the blood of Jesus. Listen, don't even think about quoting your good works. I don't want to go over that again. I discussed that in details when we discussed true righteousness revealed. When you come to pray, you pray in the name of Jesus. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? You know, we are explaining again what it means, how we live in the name of Jesus. And that's the first thing we picked up. Praying in the name of Jesus. It simply means when we come to pray, we understand that the only reason God answers is because Jesus gave us a connection. When we come to pray, we know in our hearts. It's not just to say, in Jesus' name I have prayed. You understand my point? No, that's not the idea. What it means, all right, even without uttering the name, your heart utters the name all the time, because you must understand that in the realm of the spirit, your thoughts are heard. You must understand that in the realm of the spirit, when you approach God, what you are saying in your heart is obvious without you opening your mouth. So when you come and you are feeling like a G, you know, feeling tough, like I have given, as I'm giving like this, I'm giving this giving is going to go there and give to God, will come and give back to me. I mean, just, you know, as you are doing it, all the heaven is hearing is selfishness, self-centeredness, only thinking of himself. Even when he's giving to somebody else, he's only thinking of himself. And you will not be justified. Remember, justification means you're accepted. So you will not be accepted. Your prayer will not be accepted. Your presence will not be welcome. All right, back to the issue. So when we are talking about Jesus, therefore, it's not just about uttering the name. It's as we are approaching, as you are come, that is, you know, spiritually speaking now, you are approaching the place of prayer. You're not thinking that, you see, three people I preached to today. God will answer me. I have people say it. After all this fasting, God must answer me. Because I will not answer you. Go and call the police. I said to you before, your fasting does not get anything from God. It doesn't. Nothing.
Nada, nothing, absolutely nothing. What does he get? He allows you to concentrate. He allows you to tap a word. He allows your spirit to be focused on spiritual things. So when you come to pray, even though you're in a season of taking time out to fast, you're not thinking you are doing it as a way of pleasing God. You are doing it because, I mean, it's just like you want to go and then race. You don't take Valium and eat pounded yam. You understand? They said this is the finals of this 100 meter you've been praying for the last 4 years, Olympics. You don't need to say, God, let me please you by fasting this morning and not eating pounded yam and not taking Valium. If you take Valium and eat pounded yam, you will lose the race. In the same manner, when you take them out, it is for your own good, not for God's good. Therefore, you cannot quote what you did for your own good and to use it as a way of getting something from him. No, you can't. What do you quote? What Jesus did. God, I know I may not have done everything perfectly, but Jesus has washed away my sins. Blessed is the one whom you have overlooked his iniquities, in whose spirit there is no guile. That is, I have come not with deception in my heart, but with an open heart. I want you, Lord, to just bless me because Jesus has washed this heart clean with his blood. People say that when you kneel down there, you say, first recall to mind all the things that you have done. It's a waste of time. What did I call it? It's called sin consciousness. Get there and recall to mind all the things Jesus has done. Are you getting my point? What did Jesus do? That's the thing. You get on your knees and say, Lord, I thank you. People like me shouldn't pray. But for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's what your heart is saying. And that's what Paul meant when he said, whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. I discussed that last time, and I've talked about it a lot, especially, you know, it's just so important because today's Christianity, the opposite is everywhere. I discussed extensively under the series, True Righteousness Revealed. Now, to continue that, quickly open your Bible. That was what we said last time. We're still looking at the same thing. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5. I'll use that one to complete the issue of walking in the name of Jesus. And the emphasis today is on walking in freedom. He said, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. That's from verse 1. Therefore, keep standing firm. And do not be subject again to the yoke, to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'm just going to stop there. That's the main two verses I need to explain what I want to say today as part of living and doing everything in the name of Jesus. Like I said, the emphasis for today is on walking in what? Okay, the emphasis today is on what? Walking in freedom. Thank you. All right? Now, please, I want to read this from one version of the Bible, which, when I was reading it earlier, just a few minutes ago, it struck me. It's, I think, the New Century Version. I think so. Let me quickly read it of that Galatians chapter 5. There's a way he rendered it there, which I really was blessed by. He said, we have freedom now because Christ made us free. So stand strong, do not change and go back into the slavery of the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you that if you go back to the law by being circumcised, Christ does you no good. That's the New Century Version. Now back to the main one I was using, New American Standard. It says that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. He said, therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Now, that is the main thing I want to talk about today. Remember, we're talking about living in the name of Jesus. Now, let me say this to us again. All these teachings I do, all this plenty talk I do, whether it's on Saturdays or on Tuesdays, the main aim, this is a summary of it, is to have every believer's mindset, their thinking pattern, to be rearranged so that it will conform with that of the Word of God. That's it. I'm not teaching you how to succeed in life. I'm not even teaching you how to live long. I'm not teaching you how to get healed.
I'm not teaching you how to prosper. I'm not teaching you how to find a good wife, find a good husband, find good children. Did you find them or give birth to them? Whichever way. All right? What I'm teaching, all right, this is the aim, that we will think the way God's word says we should think. We should reason the way God reasons. That's the whole thing, all right? And so today's message for me is just a summary of everything that we have been doing all these years. For the last few weeks, I've been talking about the work of Christ. And this is what I want to, you know, explain to people. Jesus came to set us free. Now, we've been talking about that. But this is the emphasis for today. We must walk in that freedom. We must stand firm in that freedom. Let me quickly give a short background to this matter that is here. Now, let me say something to you. Be careful, though. God may be long-suffering. There's a difference between long and ever. Are you getting my point? Yes. There's a difference between long and infinite. God is long-suffering means his long-suffering has an end. Long-suffering is patience. God is very patient with us. He expects that, or of course, he knows that once we just give our life to Christ and we are young Christians, there are things that he overlooked that we don't know yet. But he expects us to grow. He expects us to grow. After a while, he doesn't tolerate this standing neither here nor there. When you go here, you pray one way. When you come here, you pray the other way. He said, make up your mind how you want to pray. Otherwise, I won't listen to any one of them. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, is it because why do we do all of these things? It's so as to increase in the knowledge of God. There was something that Paul said to them then, and people use for an argument, say, if your brother doesn't eat meat, fine. If you eat meat, good. Let everybody do as it's going. But Paul said something when he was saying that. He said to those who know that there's nothing to eat, he said, have patience, he was trying to explain, with those who are weak in faith. So even though Paul was saying that, tolerate everybody, he said it clearly. Those people I'm telling you to tolerate, they are weak in faith. Therefore, they should understand that they should strengthen their faith. Do you get my point? No, I was discussing with my wife. I'm going somewhere. You wonder what I'm talking about. I was talking to my wife earlier today. We're talking about some churches and all of that, you know. So we're talking about how they behave like this. So something led to it. I said, listen, if I'm not going, at this stage in my life, there are things I'm tired of. I would have done it 20 years ago. I think the year 2013 should have outgrown some things. If they say, look, you know, there's one joke. I heard it that one of our brethren sent something out and said that in Warri now, they have one CD going around about ladies, some few women who died and came back from the dead and they went to hellfire where they belong. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I don't believe they woke up from the dead. I think they are still in that hellfire. All right, because they came, you can't come back from that so-called heaven and be telling lies. They said an angel took one woman around to heaven and showed her the whole of heaven and said that she noticed that there are very few women there. Most of the guys, the people there were men. And this is the reason, you know, Satan is very wicked. He confuses people. You know, this is the reason. That it's because of all the weaver that they use on the earth. All the perming of hair, the use of weaver, the use of necklace, use of makeup, that was what disqualified them from going to heaven and they all went to hellfire. As for the guys who steal, who womanize, who smoke their lungs to pieces, who drink till they are dead, no, those ones are in heaven. They are in heaven. Because they did not use weave on. They did not use makeup. So I say, what do we do? I said, let them enjoy themselves, those who are believing it. God said, if you will not serve the Lord thy God willingly, you will serve your enemies forcefully. If you don't use gladness of heart to pursue truth, when error comes, it will hold you in bondage. I say, I'm sorry, I have no pity. Let you. And you say, one woman has burnt her shop. That is, she's a hairdresser. She burnt everything inside. I said, good, hunger will teach you a good lesson. Yes, lack, need will follow you about. After a while, you realize that, man, this need and lack is not sending me to heaven. I'm going to get to hell faster when I start stealing. He said, oh, give me food that is convenient for me. Don't make me too poor, otherwise I will steal. Yeah, you have begged poverty to enter into you because of lack of understanding. There are things people look ahead and say, there's one prominent woman of God. They said she saw in hellfire because she used to wear skirts that were not very long on the earth.
I said, it's good. You belong in that hellfire where you were seeing people. I mean, how can you be telling me lies? Go and read the Bible. No, none of them. Have you noticed those people? They have never seen an adulterer in hellfire. It's only those who do breakdancing. They saw Michael Jackson in hellfire doing breakdancing. All the people breakdancing like him are going to hellfire. You that believe them, you are the one that have a problem with. Because anybody can see anything they want. People don't go to hellfire because of breakdancing. Nobody goes to hellfire because of the color of cloth he wore or she wore or did not wear. They go to hellfire, all right, for denying Jesus Christ. They go to hellfire for refusing the word of God when it comes to them. That's why they go there. It's called apostasy. It's called unbelief. That's what takes people there. Anyway, back to my message. I won't go to any church this day and age. Like, come there on Sunday. Like, you know the one I told you last time? It was my wife that told me that they said, today is your shoe wearing ring. That is a priest that women couldn't wear earrings. The women removed the rings from the ears. They said they couldn't wear finger rings. They removed the rings from the fingers. They said they could. Then finally, they found the old man of God. Now I saw that they dressed women's shoes with ring. Now you come to church, come preach. Is your shoe wearing ring? Listen, in 2013, you preach that message once. I pick my Bible. I walk out. I won't come back. I think you don't have a serious job to do for Christ. I'm going somewhere. This was what happened in the book of Galatians. Why Paul wrote this? Paul said something to them. What happened was that Paul had preached the gospel to them. They had believed. These were people who, a lot of them, Gentiles. They were serving idols. People like that, all they were worshiping. Worshiping idols and all kinds of things. These people now believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, some people now came. And I believe some of them were even Jews who believed in Moses and all of that. And all of them now believed in Jesus Christ. And some now came and explained to them that except you believe and start operating the laws of Moses, you can never be saved. That when Jesus gives you life, he gives you life to be able to obey Moses. That was the gospel. And the sign that you have believed that gospel was that you went for circumcision. And Paul says something clear. And listen to me. That's this way I'm going with all this talk I'm talking. There are things you say is just for peace sake. That's denying you of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. Listen, for all the messages I've preached to some of you here, there are prayers you will say, God will deny you. A child, a baby Christian will do the same thing. He will overlook. The other day I was preaching here. I meant it clearly. If you go for this so-called deliverance they are doing everywhere, you will come out of there with double the trouble you went in there with. I'm telling you. I'm not joking. There are times I laugh. You can't see me laughing now. If after all the revelations of the word of God that you have heard, somebody said the reason why you have constant headache is because you need deliverance. Go for that deliverance. You know your migraine was on one side before. When you come back, it will be on the other side and your neck. Three places. It was worrying you on your right side of the head. It has gone to your left side now. They has joined your neck with it. Why? Because you went for deliverance. Why? Simply because by that you are denied the knowledge of Christ. And Paul said, take that circumcision, Christ will do you no good. You must understand that. You go to your homes, you go to your villages. There are things in the family they say, let us do. Tell them flat, I'm not doing. He said, why? He said, because if I do, Christ will not do me any good. He said, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Listen, let me say this to you. Those who have listened to me for some time. If you sow any seed, you will lose 10 times that amount. Did you hear what I said? If you take money now and you have listened to me for a while, why am I saying that? Because I preach the truth. I'm not lying about it. I know the word of God. I wrote books. What do you call it? Grace to Prosper. People will say, I don't agree with you. Sit down and show me what I said that is wrong. They can't. But because of their lives, they stuck to one form of practice. They are afraid to shake away from it. I'm telling you, if you have listened to me and God's word has come to you direct from my mouth, go and sow a seed towards the need you have. That need is going to triple. Because God said, my glory I will share with no other. This is what I do for you. I love you. I want to bless you. Come to me and just ask for something. I'm not a civil servant in your country. It's not a fight. Does not need money to move across my table in heaven. Those who preached that in my name, they were either ignorant or they were deceitful. I tolerated some things for a moment. But listen, I have given you the word of truth. If you now deny that word and go the other way, you are going to be in trouble. Why are you telling me I do not love you enough to give you anything without taking from you first? What did you give me before I sent my only begotten son to come and die for your sins? I loved you before you were aware of the word love. When you did not know your sin was sin, I was loving you. People can't ask God for anything anymore. I want a child, I sow a seed. I want money, I sow a seed. I want a car, I sow a seed. I want nonsense seed. I say to you all the time, if you want to give, give. And don't be an idiot. What is wrong with you? Why can't you just be a blessing to somebody without tying something to it? Paul said, if you are circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you. He said something clearly. He said, this is the issue. If you receive circumcision, then you're under obligation to keep the whole law. I am telling you, if you want to do something for the interest of peace, God said, no problem. Those laws I told you before, there are three different levels in life. Well, many levels. There's the earthly realm, there's the superficial heaven realm, but there's the third heavenly realm, which I've talked about before. In the third heaven, let's talk about the second heavens. In the second heavens, first of all, there are many kinds of rules that work there. The Muslims practice zakat. It's a spiritual law. It's in the scriptures. Daniel taught it to Nebuchadnezzar. Do these things, there will be a prolongation of the days of your prosperity. He told him. These are second heaven laws. But there is a third heaven law. That is where Christ operates. When you get to the third heavens, everything is based upon the transaction of the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything is based upon the transaction in the blood of Jesus Christ. And anybody, Paul was saying, that takes the laws of the second realm and say, this is what my life will be. He said, Christ will do you no good. Therefore, everything in your life, you have to operate in the second realm. That is where the devil is strong. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. If you step out of the realm of the third heavens and you come into his realm, you're dead meat. He will fry you and eat you and cut you to pieces, share you with his demons. That's one area where you can't try him. He knows how to accuse. When you come and say, God, I have done this, I have done this, I have done that. He said, fine. Now let me begin to tell him what he has not done. And believe me, you will be shocked at what you haven't done. So what do? We say, we don't want that. We step into the realm of the third heavens and we stay there. Those who came to preach to Paul, they came to preach to the Galatians after Paul was gone. They said to Paul, to those who simply, listen though, we are just warning you. So some of them, I say, after all, is it not just small bleeding? After all, it has health benefits. Circumcision is beneficial to your health. All kinds of persuasion. I told you before, listen, don't just say for peace sake. Don't, you know, I told you something earlier, on Tuesdays, we were talking about not making fear a habit. I said, sometimes people send messages, they send to 10 people, and you will see a breakthrough. All right? There was a man who did not send to anybody, and he saw a breakdown. I said to you then, and I'm saying it again, listen, some people say, a friend of mine did once. He said, just, you know, it doesn't cost me anything. And that's what they say, much to gain, little to lose. And I said to you then, it's a lie. Little to gain, much to lose. What is the much that you are losing? You are making fear a habit. You are training yourself in fear. And Father Duroto said, anything you do again and again, you become good at it. You become a fearful man. You become a fearful woman. And that is why I say it under God. I've never forwarded one in my life. They've threatened with death. One man did not forward. House collapsed on him. That when I get the message, when I now sit in the house, and they are collapsed now. You know a man can collapse on a house. This man didn't do it. Then he lost this. I leave my door open that day. Come and steal it.
What am I doing? I'm telling the devil I'm not afraid of anything. Sometimes we start talking there just for the sake of peace. What you don't realize is that Paul saying here, you are making Christ of no effect in your life. What happened to those people that some people now come and say, just be circumcised. After what is it? It doesn't cost you anything. It's just small circumcision. It doesn't mean you don't believe in Christ though. You are just small circumcising small. It is wisdom. It is wisdom. Let us be wise. Fat lie. It's not wisdom. It's fear. They are afraid. They are afraid to believe totally in Jesus Christ. They put their hand on the plow and they are looking back. And Paul said, for that reason, Christ will not do them any good. I dare to say to you today, the major problem that Christians have is that they don't fully follow Christ. They keep on leaving something behind. That, you know, just in case. There are those who still believe. Oh, I don't want to start things that I won't have time to explain. As a Christian, be careful with this thing they call tradition. Your tradition is Christianity. What did I say? What did I say? Your tradition is Christianity. Let me say to you, don't be afraid to offend tradition. I like one thing that Rabbi Zacharias said. I don't know what he said. I was quoting somebody. He said, custom is the cloak of religion. That is, when people have a religion in a place, the manifestation of it is their custom. That's why you find where the British went. You understand? Everybody takes holidays on Saturday and Sunday. Because they brought with them a culture of Christianity. When people rejected that, they stopped all of those things. You go to pure Islamic countries, they don't do that. The only problems they have, all right, is communicating with the rest of the world. Because if you are doing business and you want to talk to an American, it's not at work on Sunday. So you are forced to recognize it. Rabbi Zacharias said that custom is a cloak of religion. That when people say that this is our practice, go and check, why is it their practice? You will find out that there's a religion behind it. The other day, one of my colleagues saw me. He saw that my name is Olushino. And of course, being a Yoruba man, he came from Ife. They came for something here. So it impressed him. So we talked about it a bit. That what was, he knew there had to be a former name, because that name, if you see anybody bear Olushino, is modern. His father didn't bear that name unless his father is a believer. Now, so he asked me, he said that like he wanted the history of the name. So I told him that the original name was Ogunshino. All right? And I said, why did I change it? I said, it's obvious reasons, religious reasons. Faith matters. Literally, Ogunshino means Ogun has opened the way. That is, there was a problem with prosperity. From what I heard, the story was with childbearing. You understand all of that? And then they did some sacrifice and all of that. And then the way opened, the door opened. Breakthrough came, you know, that kind of thing. Like we say in Christianity today. So that was the name. That's where the name started from. I said, but I don't believe in that. I'm a man of faith in Christ Jesus. And I know he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one approaches the Father to get anything except by him. I know a door that God closes, no one can open it. And any door that's closed, only God can open it. You understand what I'm saying? I understand that. And they asked Jesus Christ, should we pay taxes to Caesar? He said, give me a coin. They gave him a coin. And he said, whose likeness, that is, whose photograph and whose signature are these? And they said, Caesar's. He said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. That is, the likeness of who is upon me. And the signature, all right, for me, is the name that I bear. That's part of it. Therefore, I cannot carry the glory of something I do not believe in. So when I grew up and became an adult, I dropped the former name and I adopted a new one. So I was trying to tell me that, it was not necessary. Of course, it's not new. I stopped hearing the argument after I came to Enugu. While I was still in Lagos, I used to hear it a lot, you know. But after I came to Enugu, the average woman on the road doesn't know the meaning of whether Ogunshino, or Olushino, or Adeshino, or Fashino, or Ileshino, or Microphone Shino.
doesn't know what you're talking about. So that gave me peace of mind from that argument after I came to Enugu years ago. But this man, so he brought it, but I used to hear a lot those days. I know it doesn't matter. You see, what happened was that, you know, when God, he was teaching me some philosophy, what he did not realize, he should have spared himself the talk. I wasn't listening. I was not listening. I said, this is where I'm going. I said, look, all this one you are talking about, I said, all this one you are saying is the custom that has the religion behind it. It is that religion I'm reacting against. I'm not here to argue philosophy. I'm saying that everything people do, all right, there is a reason for it. As I tell women, be careful the clothes you wear. It's not everything they design you put you on your body and say it looks nice. I'm not saying you go to hellfire. That's not the issue. It's just that you have to know that, you see, in control of spirits, so many things affect it. A lot of things affect things around you. A lot of things, you know. Like I've said it to you before, that even food you eat can affect your spirituality. I'm serious about that. Where you eat affects your spirituality. I'm a very liberal person, but I'm still a very truthful person. I know my own liberality is into truth. I will not be an American believing in homosexuality because it is wrong. It is evil. We know truth. You can't be following your friends to beer parlors and say it doesn't matter. You see, the beer parlor is nothing. The beer is nothing. If Jesus was alive today, he'd probably use a bottle or two. It's not a problem. But there's communion that you must never participate in. People gather around the table and they are sharing drink. It's ordinary suya. Suya is the will of God. But eat your own at home. Eat it with friends, believers, I mean. So gathering where, listen, don't be on a table and you are romancing with people who don't believe in God, who think your Christianity is a joke. And you're not saying, paravirtual, I can win them. And you start quoting that Jesus went for party. Let me tell you the truth. You must know how Jesus went for party. He was a celebrity. Are you getting my point? Yes, you must understand it too. Don't think disciples used to sneak out for over and be. Nah, lie. When they went, they showed them to the head of the table. People gathered to listen to them. People came there to get healing. Don't think they went and queued there and somebody said, hey, Peter, you look handsome today. You want to dance with me? Now, lie. Peter ain't dancing with anybody. He's following Jesus Christ about. They didn't go to the party to go and, you know, for the reverie, all those kind of. No. Those people were important people. So I'm not saying don't go for a party, but make sure that when you reach the party, the no pastor has come. You know what I'm saying? Yes, sir. They say, yes, the son of the Pope has arrived. Yes, it's good. But every time you see that there, you are sipping a drink, and one girl that's half naked comes to rub body on your body. Listen, you are not made of firewood. Are you getting my point? Yes, sir. Flee. What did I say? Flee. What did I say? Flee. Disappeared. I believe in enjoy. I mean, you've been to my house. I do party in my house all the time. But when you come to my house, I'm the king of the party. The DJ is Israel. I'm Bishop. I'm just warning you, don't just hang out in strange places. You go to 8 hours, the guy on your right is a core unbeliever. He has a wife and 3 concubines. The one in front of you is a homosexual. The one on your left, his name is Barack Obama. And you sit down there and you say, oh, this suya is very nice. And they'll give they serve good around. It's called communion. What did I call it? Yes, you shouldn't share bread, communion in such places. I'm just going to explain the fact that, you know, physical things, they affect you. I'm talking about, you know, the culture. Because of TV and everything, Americans are always teaching us their culture every day. They tell women to wear pattern and run around. You see, the one that irritates me now, in fact, you know, I'm used to women half naked. You know, you get to a while, you get used to it. The one I have not gotten used to is when a man, you know, this evil is a horrible thing, though. You know, see boys tie their belts here. That's the one. In Jesus' name, I ban you. May that trouser tear to pieces if you do it again. see every madness you must copy. Boys will not be wearing sagging. Listen, look. So, if you... What is your problem? You know, those days we used to get angry with women. That, what's wrong with you? Why can't you dress properly? They're not, you're not walking on the road now. Boys, you now wear trousers that's down, you know. In fact, some of them, you know, I've sat down sometimes to examine critically. How is he hanging up? So I want to know whether the guy sank a rope and hung it under his on his neck that we can't see. Is everything people copy? Can't you just watch something on television and say, I don't like it? They bring fashion, you look at it and say, I don't like it. Period. Let the whole world wear it, I'm not wearing. Why I went into there, some of those things, you know, mostly women things, even snake into guys now. They, oh God, if I say this, it sounds funny. They are demonic. They are satanic. One reverend father said something once. He said he doesn't understand why. He said that most of those big boys in the fashion industry, at least in the Western world, that they are homosexuals. And he does not understand why a homosexual should tell a woman what to wear. I kept that article for a long time. I don't know where it is anymore. The man said, there was a reverend father was talking that he doesn't understand why it should be a homosexual that would tell women how to dress. The simple answer is Satan. Pure Satan. I am convinced of this. I may sound like an extremist, but I'm convinced of it. Some of them, the designs are given to them by demons. I can prove it to you from scripture also. Because we know two people in the Bible that brought designs from heaven. Moses went to heaven, copied design. Moses and David had the revelation of what the temple should look like. Designs are released in the spiritual realm. And if you're an artist, you're an architect, you're a fashion designer, and you're a believer, bear that thing in mind. And you sleep at night, start connecting with the heavenly realms and downloading what God wants men to look like, what God wants women to look like. Why should we be copycats? I went to all of that, but I talk about the matter of culture. Culture. Don't be afraid. I said to everybody before, and I'm saying, see, all this one of Kulanon speaks English, does not speak English, speaks one like what it doesn't. Look, listen. It is, as far as I'm concerned, it's ending this generation. If your children are getting married, and I come to your house, and then Kulanon speaks Swahili, as you are saying, I carry my Bible and I walk out. As far as I'm concerned, we today, and what the Bible calls the consummation of the ages. One age is leaving, another one is coming. So sometimes this transition period, we just overlook some things. And I say, listen, my tradition is Christianity. There's no, listen, after this generation, we should not be able to tell where you are from, naturally speaking. We should be able to tell you the spiritual language you speak. So they go for that wedding, they said they are Christians. Yes, how did we know? When we got there, they were chanting the Psalms. They were chanting the blood of Jesus, what he has done, how it has washed them away, washed their sins away. That's what they were chanting. They said, oh, what are they? They must be Christians. Say, yes. Listen, he said it was for freedom that Christ set us free. That's what I'm talking about. Those people, they went, people were preaching to them that you have to play safe. I want Christians. There are some festivals you're not even going for anymore. Now, but I don't want to tell you that if there's a masquerade is coming out, it doesn't concern you. That's what they call idol worship. What did I call it? I mustn't find you dancing with, it's about eighth grade masquerade. Go. That's why you go and sleep at night and demons will be pursuing your dream. Now you go beg them to join the race with you now. What's your business with idols? So they won't recognize my village if I don't come. Who needs their recognition? Prosper, they will remember you. Just prosper first. Is this poverty that's your problem? Just prosper first. Hey! Focus on working with God and asking for abundance. They will come and meet you, say, I've not come to build a house in the village. Then you build one for them. Not one. In fact, you know, I've told you as Christians, we don't build houses in the village first. If we're not planning to go there, we build town halls, schools, you know, halls for the school. We come there, say, okay, what's happening here? They say that this stream does not allow us pass during rainy season. We build a nice covert over it and say, that is the blessing of God. And we go and say, you come there, you buy desks for the classrooms. I've told you, God, NYSC, they will not scrap it. We won't allow them to scrap NYSC yet. You know why? That's what we want to use to do the will of God in our villages. When coppers arrive, you bring the copper, say, this is my village. All right? The money I want to use to roof a house here, I'm going to pay all of you for the next few years. Make sure all these boys and girls, they go to school. That's Christianity. And we have done all of that. We can now build one small house there. Or a big one. And we don't just sink a borehole inside our compound. We first sink one in the village square first. That's how Christians behave. It's unbelievers that will come and sink one inside his compound and expect everybody to now be queuing up and say, Ranka Dede. No, as a believer, you go, you sink one. Isn't it annoys me when I see Americans coming to Nigeria. Say, before Operation Blessing, if you watch it on TV, Operation Blessing sank a borehole in Nigeria. I got a vex. Operation Blessing, you are sinking borehole in Nigeria. What a shame to Nigerians. Nigerian Christians. Why should Operation Blessing come from America to come and sink a borehole here? With all the kind of houses we are building all over the place. And that's nonsense. We should go there first, sink the borehole. We are talking about walking in freedom. Walking in freedom. So that I can't do you anything. People go, these days they get confused. Preachers, you know, I told you, look, a man calls himself a preacher. Don't be impressed until he talks. Let him tell you the counsel of God. Because these days I hear those that call themselves preachers, the kind of things they preach. They come, sit down, start analyzing for me the origin of curses. They came to Jesus, who sinned? Who sinned? This man or himself that he should be born, or his parents should be born blind. He said, what difference does he make? As long as I can do the work of him that sent me, what it is there. So if your great-great-great-grandfather was a wicked man, who doesn't have somebody in his lineage that was wicked here? Any man who was not serving the true God is a wicked man. Then that's how doing deliverance for you. I'm warning you, if you're a child of God, you don't need that kind of deliverance. You know the kind of deliverance you need? You need deliverance from ignorance. Ignorance, that's the main deliverance you need. He said, but my business has had problems. Who has not had problems in life? Jesus had problems. If they try to throw you off a cliff many times, you know that's a problem. If you have Judas in your ministry, you think it's not a problem. Your treasurer is a thief. Ah. But was it a sign that he wasn't blessed? You can have a problem. Don't worry. It's whether you overcome it or not that shows whether you're a believer or you are not. So as a businessman, my last three businesses collapsed. I said, you have four more to collapse. Why? Because a righteous man falls seven times. Say, Pastor, I don't know what's going on. Every woman I ask to marry me, they always say no. I said, how many? Three. I remain four. Better be proposing early so they can refuse on time. One of the reasons why they keep refusing anyway is all your bribery and corruption. That's why they keep refusing. Because you think you have to, you know, you have to use money, things you don't have. You have a spirit of rejection, so that's why they are rejecting you. Let me tell you the truth. I know the guys don't wake up now. This is how to chase a woman. Let me tell you now. Use your mouth. What did I say? This is your mouth. If you don't have money, you don't need it. Tell your neighbor, you don't need the money yet. Use your mouth. Tell her what God is doing in your life. Don't stop telling lies that, oh, the moment I saw your face, my heart has been jumping. Forget all of it. Everybody has been telling her that. You don't know that. You think you're the first person. Anytime she goes to work, they tell her. She goes to school, they tell her. Serious people tell her. Unbelievers tell her. Idiots tell her. Wise people tell her. And you go there. Forget that one first. Greet nicely. Be a nice person. But after that, talk about what God is doing in your life. How you're a man of God. How you believe in Jesus Christ. How old things are passed away. How the word of God is changing you every day into becoming the perfect image of Jesus Christ. How no matter what your yesterday was like, tomorrow is going to be bright. That you are 10,000 times bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Tell her the truth. It's the word of God. And stop hiding. Look, if they are not paying you well, where you are, tell her straight. I'm in that place, I'm learning. I'm being fruitful. Yes. So, you know, there are some people and they know how to tell stupid lies. Not like all stupid lies. There's one brother that used to say something that used to annoy me. He'll come to you and you're talking. We're discussing Boko Haram matters now. You said, yesterday I was with the chief of army staff and we were discussing the strategies for penetration of Borno out into Maiduguri and then come out to that Chadian border and you'll be looking at him like this. The one he said that day that really just annoyed me. It was poor scarcity in Nigeria. He said, I was in the office of the group MD of NMPC yesterday, and he was explaining, and you're looking at him like this. And I say, you know the group MD of NMPC? You know the governor of your state? These are the names he drops. You know all these people? And your life be like this. Honestly. There was one brother that does it when he was in Lagos. It used to be like that. He said, okay, right now we are going to see Dia. The way he would say the Dia, you know, Oladipo Dia, the dance number two. You would think Dia was his classmate in secondary school. And I used to look at the guy, you know. I didn't know how to do that. Oh, but you better wake up. Oh. There was one poor man like that. I used to walk with my mother those days, all right, in her school. And my mother used to say that, look, anytime she's talking, the man was poor. There's nothing wrong with being poor. You know what I mean, that regard. Except that my mother said, anytime you are talking with him, he will tell you about his son that's an engineer in Port Harcourt. His son that is a lawyer in New York. His brother that is the commissioner of police in this place. By the time he draws four or five names, the little offering my mother will have before, she will hold her offering and go come back home with it. He will tell me that, I bet, he looks, it appears like he's more prosperous than myself. The man will be dropping names. Meanwhile, once you look at him, perfect description of poverty. They'll be dropping names recklessly. Guys, it's not necessary. What did I say? Not necessary. Listen, you are a big man. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
When I first met my wife, I didn't even know that I was such a big man that she got tired of hearing how big I was. Yes, because I used to say it all the time. Not that kind of big man, I mean the real big man, the type that you are. The type that Christ has made you and I to be. He used to talk, one day just said, this man, I beg, he don't do. He said, I think you're just full of yourself. I went back home and went and reasoned. I came back, I said, I lie. According to the word of God, I'm full of God. What is his name? John G. Lake said that there's no one who has power with God that won't brag about it. That isn't just flows out of you. I mean, you have to know how to boast. The Bible says it like that. Let the wise man not boast of his wisdom. Let that strong one not boast of his strength. Let's add to it. Let the rich man not boast of his riches. If anyone wants to boast, boasting is allowed. Boasting is allowed as long as he boasts in the fact that he knows me. So when you go to a woman, you boast. Amen? Guys, what did I say? You boast now, however. You walk with a swagger, you know that kind of thing. Say, you know, God is good. We will prosper in this land in the name of Jesus Christ. That no matter what outside looks like right now, there is a God inside. And when he manifests in our lives, outside we'll have to cooperate. Trust me, some women will believe you. Marry only those who believe that kind of gospel. Anyone that makes you buy things on credit, you are paying for 6 months. Her birthday was in January. June, you are still paying. That one is not the will of God. Waiting. It is acceptable according to what a man has. Waiting. You want to wed, you must buy gold by force. Oh boy. You enter that metal market, there are all kinds of ornaments in there. You know the interesting thing about the word of God? It says all of them are perishable, including the gold you want to die for. So you buy the one that's painted with yellow. So if you fail after 2 months, why not? You buy another one after 2 months. Then as God blesses you, you buy the one that can last 1 year. As God blesses you, then you now buy one that they guarantee to not tarnish for 18 months. 18 months warranty. And then one day God will bless you. And you go there. Tell them, I want the most pure gold that is crafted by Bezalel. If it's not the Bezalel of the Bible, I don't want that one. They will craft it for only you. Put a diamond that, you know, Bezalel, and what's the name of his friend? Oholiab. Oholiab worked on that diamond. They combine it. How much is it? It will be the same wage of a man laboring for 3 years. They say there are poor people. Say, wait. The poor you have with you, always. This is for my wife this time around. You go home and say, baby, wear this one. It is from your husband. We know it is perishable, but this one will not perish until Christ comes. I'm telling you the truth. Life is in phases, Bishop Oyedepo said, and men are in sizes. You live your size per time. My friend Ibokwe will say that contentment is knowing your place in life and living like you are there. It's just a temporary season. It's just a temporary season. It's a temporary season. Listen, don't die because tomorrow is your wedding day. You can't buy gold. Don't worry about it. There's a place in the market where they sell things that look like gold. Wear that one for a few days. The time will come. Oh, you know one thing I like about there's one story those days we heard of this man, Akeem Olajuwon. You know, he was a poor boy that grew up on Lagos Island, Isaleko. Him as seven, I think there were seven or nine in the family. I think seven children, parents, and plus the parents. And they lived in one room. One room. So when God prospered him, he went to the U.S., he became a basketballer, and he became very rich. I remember that I was in secondary school. He built a house. He didn't buy it. He had the house built. That time, this was in the early 80s, for the cost of $2 million. And it was one room. The house was one room. He said this is to remind him of where he came from. So he built a house for $2 million and the instruction to the architects that make sure everything is just one room. So in that massive house, beds were in one corner, kitchen was in one corner. He says one room. What am I saying? That's your cheap ring. Keep it somewhere. One day, you will go to the master goldsmiths of the world and say, replicate that in the original. I want to use to remind my wife of where we began from. The path of the just is like the light of dawn. Your path is shining brighter and brighter. I say your path is shining brighter and brighter.
Amen.
Listen, I've just given you a summary. This is how Christians chase women. We don't borrow cars. It's not necessary. We don't tell lying stories. Where were you last week? My uncle, you know, his plane spoiled on the streets of Lagos, so went to change the plug. It's not, those stories are not necessary. I remember the first day, you know, like my wife and I related. There's all, you know, I had a reputation for sincerity, honestly. In fact, my mom was annoying. I used to tell you things you didn't even ask me about. So one day, said they were doing send-off in their school. She was graduating. His dad invited me to come, so I came. You know what I was looking at? The clothes she was wearing. The first time we got to come, opportunity to speak, I said, come. Your papa buy this kind of thing for you? You don't know, say you go marry. Me, I was afraid though. Because the price of the material was talking from the stage. I could see it. Honestly, a whole month's salary that time couldn't buy 8 yards. Now look, I say, want your papa? Shouldn't make life miserable for young people, though. Why don't you give a young woman this one to wear? I say, oh, now come, I wear print now. I say, you better wear print. There's nothing like doing. This is nice. It reminds me of the one that didn't remind me of anything. I'd never seen that type before. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What am I trying to say? We have been set free in Christ Jesus. I don't want to say. We have to walk with that mentality. We are victors in Christ Jesus. We have been set free in Christ Jesus. Our level now is not where we'll be forever. We have the winner's mentality. You don't run to and fro every time they change salaries in one place, you jump to another place. No, wherever you are in life, like I said, you know you have to be a blessing. You have to be a blessing. And you have to be learning. That's just the way Christians work. You understand my point? The one I want to just add last as I close, all right? Is to remind Christians again, there's no need to be afraid. I just want to say this one. There is no need to be afraid, especially of satanic forces. There's no need to be afraid. The one I say all the time is that you are not cursed. That's what I was talking about, that woman matter. 3 women, you propose to them, they refuse. You know what it means? Maybe you marry the 4th one. What if that one refuses? Maybe you marry the 5th one. And it's in the scriptures, when you are persecuted in one city, you flee to the next. It's the word of God. It doesn't mean you are cursed. That's why I'm saying all the things I'm saying. It doesn't mean it. You know why? Because in Christ Jesus, indeed you are not cursed. People say they have problems. Who doesn't have problems? You know the issue about problems? It means they have to be solved. There's one saying by Robert Kiyosaki that I quote all the time. He said, I've never seen a rich man that never lost money. Very important. So the fact that you have lost money is not a sign that you are cursed. You must believe this thing. Stop sowing unnecessary seeds for freedom from bondage that you are not in. The bondage that the Christian has is ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You must spend your time studying the word of God to know the kind of freedom that Jesus has given you. He did not give you freedom to walk in iniquity. He did not. He gave you freedom to succeed even though you refuse to put your hands to iniquity. That's what he did. You must understand that. Stop going around waking up at night to pray about devils. They are not your problem. The only problem you have with the devil is temptation. So strengthen your heart with the word of God and prayer so as to resist that temptation. Very, very important. The only problem you have with the devil is temptation. And he knows, that's why he tempts you. If you don't fall for his sin, he can't do anything to you. The moment you gave your life to Christ, renounced the former ways, you became free. The ancestral curses were broken. Let me say this one again. I know I'm repeating myself, but I don't care. I will repeat myself. He's only a lying prophet who can point a finger at the person causing your troubles. In Christ Jesus, you have been set free. Is your uncle? Is a lie. Is your auntie? Is a lie. Is that fair woman in the next compound? Is a lie. Don't you see how she looks at you when you are coming out in the morning? Is a lie. She only likes you. That's all. She can't do you anything. I said something the other day. Was it on Tuesday or last? When I was explaining the issue of the answer, okay, was last of the years. That when Jesus prayed, okay, well, Jesus, I was praying.
And he said, contend with them that contend with me. That thing has been answered. Anybody that's contending with you, God is already contending with them. They can come against you, but they will never be overcomers in your life. They will never overcome you. No weapon that is fashioned against you will prosper. If they come together in one way, they are going to scatter seven ways. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? All those satanic forces, let them come, let them gather together and come against you. They have scattered. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? They have scattered. What am I doing? I'm getting you to understand how to walk. You have to walk with confidence. Ask my wife. All the days she has known me, she has never known me to be afraid of evil forces. Never. It has never been a prayer point in our lives. Never. I can't remember we join hands and say, all these demons that want to get us, Holy Ghost, fire, me. God forbid that. There are prayers I don't pray. If I pray them, Christ will be of no value to me. It will mean I've joined some churches that God said I shouldn't go to. All the witches that are rising up against me, today you will die, 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 die. No, leave. And you will see what God is going to do in my life. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What's my problem with your dying? All of these die, die prayers, some of them are fear. You want them to die so you won't be afraid again. How can you spend a whole night begging people to die? You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. If you're not afraid, you shouldn't do that. I said to you earlier, those who should die, will die. At the appropriate time, those who are fighting you, they will die, they are dying. You know, God knows when to die them. You like my English? He knows how to handle them. If you want people to pray, die, let me tell those who pray that they should die. All the people that have said the nation will not prosper, those are the ones you should be directing those your die-die prayer after. And just make sure you're not one of them, because a lot of those who pray those die-die prayers, they are master sin, ah, God, iniquity people. They can never do anything in government office without collecting court. So they don't pray that kind of prayer, because if they pray, now they go die first. Listen, let me add this one. I close with it. Don't ever do something for them just in case. Say, no, let me just pray this prayer now. Because you never can tell. Once you talk like that, you arm the enemy. You arm the devil. It is called fear. Walk with boldness. Don't be afraid. Don't go and kneel down and you want to pray. Say, God, did I do anything wrong yesterday? You did not do anything wrong. If it didn't come to your mind, don't worry about it. He ever lives to make intercession for anyone that draws near to God by him. Jesus is always watching your back. And he's also walking in sin consciousness. I've never started a prayer meeting. I asked my wife in my life that I can remember ever since I left catechism. I'm telling you, since I entered university, once I started the word of faith, I've never started a prayer meeting with, let me start thinking of what I have done now because I want to pray. If I do anything bad on the spot, I should know, I should repent of it. When I want to pray, I go boldly. What did I say? You come boldly. Stop coming timidly. And what am I saying? It's called living anything you do in the name of Jesus. You are recognizing that this is what Jesus has done. That's what it means to live in the name of Jesus. You are living by the power of the work that he has done, not your own power. Everything that I was saying, and they said, this is how men chase women in Christianity. I'm not talking about, we're not learning how to, look, we're not be worried boys, we're trying to talk smooth. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's not what we are practicing. We are telling the truth. What did I say? What did I say? We're telling the truth. Everything that I said, I believe. Everything that I told my wife then, every single thing I believed. I remember many years ago, just this thing I'm telling you, I did it too. Although I bought my wife some very nice ring when we got married, but the first ring I gave her for engagement, she found out in Kingdom World Ministry. I didn't even know, she did not know, that it was 300 naira. This was where she found out. One day I was preaching, I don't even know, was it this year? She said, oh, was it 300 naira? I said, okay, I didn't tell you. But you know, it's love. What did I call it? It was love. It was shining. What she was seeing was not the ring, it was the person who gave it. According to Ken, that apostle of love, Ken, He says, it's not what they say, it's what God causes them to hear. So it wasn't the ring I gave, it was what, you know, it was the radiation, the glory that was upon it. I remember years later, one day, because I remember Charles Achonwa, he was preaching and said one day his wife said that the most expensive material she had was given to her by her father or her mother. So he said, what? My wife is telling me? Ah, he said, no. So he went and prayed to God. Now listen, when I was earning 900 naira a month as a fresh graduate from university, that's when he told this story. He went and prayed to God to give him money. You have to learn how to pray. And God sent him 50,000 naira. He told God what he wanted to do with the money. When the money came, 50,000, the most expensive material he could find when a fresh Nigerian graduate doctor was earning 900 naira a month was 25,000. So you get a concept, right? This was 1992 that I heard him preach this message. He said, so he took 25,000 and bought one huge material and gave to his wife so that she would never be able to say again. So he took the balance, 25,000 naira. He didn't need it. He threw it into an offering basket. He learned how to pray. He just prayed to God and said, let me shut this testimony up and create a new testimony. One day I did something like that. Because my wife has some nice jewelry that was dashed to her by her mother. I remember that testimony. So many years ago, it was her birthday. I went to a woman selling gold. She gave me 2 gold rings. This was years ago. Maybe like 7 years ago, 8 years ago. 2 gold rings for 50,000. And I paid. Maybe take this as your birthday present. So the most expensive ring she had came from me. According to the will of God. What am I saying? I'm telling you, look, I believe them totally. And let me tell you, it will happen to you.
Amen.
I said it will happen to you.
Amen.
Buy a cheap ring now. In a short time, shorter than you expect, you will replace it with a real diamond.
Amen.
I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
It will happen to you. All I just want, I want one thing from you. When it happens, call me and tell me, Pastor. We thank God. Yesterday, I bought my wife a real lapis lazuli just to celebrate our 18th month anniversary. And she's wearing it right now. I just want you to know that it was a confirmation of that word of that time. What am I going to say? Young men, don't be afraid to tell women because you are not lying. You will do it. What did I say?
I
say it like you believe it now.
I
hope you have no objection. Though. Some of you are afraid to talk. You should do things like that once in a while. You should. But what I'm preaching is that God will give you the ability. Never think small of yourself. You have no reason on earth as a child of God, male or female, to look at somebody else and say that person is lucky. There are things I don't say. You know why? I'm a lucky man too. Luck is a colloquial word for that spiritual word called blessing. And you are blessed in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I said you are blessed in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I said you are blessed in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I said you are blessed in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, this is a summary of it. What Christ came to do for us. Let's put those things in our minds. And as a matter of fact, your environment will soon begin to feel these things. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said your environment will soon begin to feel these things.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say this one to you as I'm coming down. You are a giver. Amen?
Amen.
So instead of wondering where are the jobs? No, you must never wonder like that. You will create jobs in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is one I feel like leaving this place. Because some people say, I'm just leaving school. Where are the jobs? Because the jobs are inside you. Tap yourself, your chest. Say, the jobs. They are here. Listen, if every one of the children of God in this country create jobs and they employ 10 people, you know what it means? Unemployment will nosedive. Listen, let me say to you in the name of Jesus, you are not part of the unemployment statistic in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You you are part of the employer's statistic in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What you should be concerned about is how much will I pay? You hear what I said? What you should be concerned about is what? It's not how much will I be earning. God has sent you forth to this life to be a blessing. And that is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.